183, Psalm 150. I'll read the passage. I'll say, "This is the word of the Lord," and the congregation responds saying, "Thanks be to God." Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with strings and flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. May God add His blessing to His word tonight. Psalm 150. It's the last psalm. It's the last psalm in the Psalter. It's the culminating psalm. It's the Psalter's grand finale. And no doubt it is a psalm of praise. 13 times is the word praise used in this psalm. Obviously, that is the theme of this most joyful passage of Scripture. It has been said that there is a certain logic to how the Psalter as a whole is put together. In the earlier Psalms, we have a lot of Psalms of lament. Many of these Psalms reflect on the difficulty of the human condition and the sadness that can easily come our way in human life. But then as we move towards the end of the Psalter, there is a growing chorus of Psalms of praise and of delight and of joy, culminating in Psalm 150, which is purely a psalm of praise. It has been said that the Psalter is put together like this, perhaps to reflect the pattern of human life, of the believer, as we pass from suffering into glory. Psalm 150, then, is, in a sense, is the culmination of the glory, the hope, and the praise that is to be ours as the people of God. Now, a quick glance of Psalm 150 may mislead us into thinking that all this psalm is concerned about is how we should praise God. I mean, the vast majority is about the instruments that we use to praise God. The psalmist says, praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet, praise Him with the harp and the lyre, praise Him with tambourine and dancing, right? Praise Him with this and praise Him with that. On and on we could go. But it must be said, how we should praise is not the only concern of this psalm. Actually, there are four concerns to this psalm. Psalm 150 addresses where we should praise, why we should praise, how we should praise, and who should praise. This evening, I hope to address all four of these things that Psalm 150 addresses. Next slide. And so the first thing the psalmist addresses is where we should praise. Says the psalmist right there in that verse 1 up there, praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty heavens. Two places does the psalmist mention in particular where we should praise the Lord. The first is in His sanctuary. That is, in His temple or in His assembly. It's at the communal place of worship, like what we have right here tonight. It's noteworthy that the psalmist actually mentions this place. Some people say we can praise God anywhere, which is true. We can praise God anywhere, and we should praise God anywhere. But the place to start is right here in the sanctuary. And so appreciate communal public worship is very important. It's important not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New. Hebrews 10 says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And so praise starts here. And then where else do we praise? Says the psalmist, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. And so where do we praise? Up there. Actually, what the scripture literally says in the Hebrew is, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty or powerful firmament. Firmament. What is that again? Firmament is just another word for the sky, where we see the clouds, the sun, the moon, and the planets, and the stars. And so this is interesting. Not only is praise to happen down here in the sanctuary, close to the ground, no, it's supposed to go up, 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 and way up. Sure, right into the very throne room of God. So this is an interesting thought. We praise God in his sanctuary down here, and the angels, they praise God in the heavenly sanctuary up there. Heaven and earth, wonderfully united in majestic praise to God. Psalm 150, it talks about where we should praise the Lord. Secondly, it talks about why we should praise the Lord. It says the psalmist, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him, why? For his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. So, as we considered two places where we should praise the Lord, now we consider two reasons why we should praise the Lord. The two reasons, first of all, we praise him for his acts of power. What the psalmist is referring to here is all the great, powerful things that he has done for his people. Like what? Well, what did God do? The list is endless. We praise him for saving Abraham, for saving Joseph and his brothers through the famine, for delivering his people Israel from Pharaoh, king of Egypt, for bringing Israel through the Red Sea on dry ground, for supplying them with manna and with quail and water from a rock. We praise him for leading Israel into Canaan, for tearing down the walls of Jericho, and on and on and on we can go in the Old Testament. Actually, we can back up a bit and go right back to Genesis chapter 1. What powerful act did God do there? Sure, he made the planet. He made the entire cosmos. He made it all. Praise God. Hallelujah. And now for us, New Testament Christians, don't we have even more reason to praise the Lord? Sure, at the end of it all, God sends his Son. He did it all. He died for our sins. He rose from the dead. God, through his Son, is recreating the planet. He's making everything new, all amazing, all wonderful acts of power. We praise God for his acts of power, and we praise God for his surpassing greatness, says the psalmist. In other words, we don't praise God just for what he does. We also praise him for who he simply is. I think of parents who like to be appreciated by their children. Parents often do a lot for their children. We do their laundry, we make their lunches, whatever. We give them presents, whatever. And no doubt we feel encouraged when our children are thankful for the things that we do for them. But you know, parents don't like to be appreciated just for the things that we do. Sometimes we like to be appreciated just for who we are. And God is no different. We need to praise God for who he is. God is great. God is kind. He is compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. He's great. Actually, he's more than great. He surpasses greatness, says the psalmist. And so, those are the two reasons why we should praise the Lord. We praise him for his powerful acts, and we praise him for his surpassing greatness. We move on. Next slide. We considered where we should praise the Lord. We considered why we should praise the Lord. Third, we consider how we should praise the Lord. Says the psalmist, beginning at verse 3, praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Wow. Lots of music right there, isn't there? It almost sounds like we have a full orchestra here. 8 different instruments in 3 different groups. We got the wind instruments, the string, and the percussion. Not that all is an orchestra here. Did you notice the dancing mentioned in the middle of it all as well? Says this almost in verse 4, praise him with tambourine and dancing. With all this, we are to praise the Lord. Now, it must be pointed out that it's not very likely that the psalmist is suggesting that all of this is supposed to be present at the official worship service. That's probably unlikely. Some of the instruments were used in such a way in the Old Testament. Trumpets, for example, were sounded on special Old Testament feast days to call the people for worship. But as for the rest, nowhere does it say in Leviticus, the book that basically outlines Old Testament worship, that the priest had to ensure that a full orchestra had to be present for weekly Sabbath worship. And neither is there any evidence in the entire Old Testament that dancing ever took place in the temple worship. It wasn't done. The thing we need to remember is that praise is not something that happens just in the official worship service. It starts here, like I said, but it doesn't end here. It goes up into the heavens, into the firmament, and it goes from there everywhere else in between. And so while all of this musical stuff may not have been used in the regular worship service, it was certainly used in other kinds of places around the community. Actually, in that regard, what the psalmist is doing in mentioning all these different instruments and activities of praise, what he's doing is he's bringing to mind all the different circumstances, all the different occasions, all the different kinds of celebrations, all the different kind of victories, parades, etc., where the people did give mighty musical praise to the Lord. It wasn't done just in worship. It was done in all kinds of different places. It's noteworthy that all these things were used at various important occasions. So you take the strings and the flute, for example. Strings and flute were often used at family functions. They were used at weddings, wedding celebrations, also funerals. The harp and the lyre, these instruments of rejoicing, Genesis 3, verse 27, they were played at the dedication of the temple and the dedication of the new walls in Jerusalem. They're also played sometimes to accompany prophecy and sacrifices. Sometimes they were played to celebrate victory at battles. You take the trumpet, they were played at special functions and celebrations. They called people to worship on special feast days. They were sounded to declare victory after a holy war. You see what I'm saying? These instruments were used at special occasions and at special functions in the lives of God's people, all in different places. And then you get the tambourine and the dancing. Tambourine and dancing were used in parades to celebrate very important and special redemptive acts of God. So you take the Red Sea crossing, when God led Israel through the Red Sea only to destroy Pharaoh in it. How did Miriam respond to that? She led Israel in a parade of dance and song. Or you take King David. Remember when he moved the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem? That was indeed a very big redemptive event. Moving the Ark to Jerusalem was symbolic of God himself moving into Jerusalem. It required celebration. It was a parade. And so what did David do? Sure, as the ark moved along, David danced before the Lord. It was fitting in such a parade. And so in mentioning all these different forms of praise to the Lord in Psalm 150, the psalmist is bringing to mind all the many activities, occasions, occurrences, celebrations, and parades where people thought it necessary to praise the Lord. In all circumstances, we praise the Lord. And we must not praise Him just a little bit. No, we praise Him a lot. We do so with our music. We do so with everything that is at our disposal and with everything that is appropriate for the circumstance. Not just in church, but everywhere. Here's the point. We must praise the Lord with all of our might. David, he wanted to praise the Lord, says 1 Chronicles 13, verse 18, with all of his might when he moved the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. In the big parade, it was fitting for him to do so. In dance, that's what you do at parades. It was the appropriate time, it was the appropriate place. And so with all of his might, says 1 Chronicles 13, David danced before the Lord. And with all of our might, that's how we must praise our God too. That's the issue here. How do we praise the Lord? With all of our might. We use whatever is at our disposal. We use whatever is appropriate for the occasion. But whatever the occasion is, may we do so with all of our might. That's how we praise the Lord. Okay, so we talked about where we must praise the Lord. We talked about why we must praise the Lord. We talked about how we must praise the Lord. The last thing to consider yet is who must praise. Next slide, please. Says the psalmist in verse 6, the last verse there, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Congregation, who must praise? It's everything that has breath. That means our young little children. They have breath. Psalm 8, verse 2, from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise. Little children, they praise the Lord. But also, pseudo the very, very old. I think of Lainey Vanderkoy at Shalom Manor. She's getting up there. She can't really dance anymore. She can't play a tambourine anymore. But she has breath. And so she is called to praise the Lord. The psalmist says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I guess that includes the animals, I suppose. They have breath. Although I suppose they cannot praise very consciously, I think. But again, maybe that doesn't totally matter. Psalm 19 says that even the heavens declare the glory of God. All creation sings. All creation praises. The point is that we must praise too. And so what an amazing picture Psalm 150 creates. What do I see? I see God's vast creation. I see life under the firmament. And there in the middle is the temple, the sanctuary of God. God's people, they praise Him there. We do so tonight. Here we hear the word. Here we offer our offerings and our prayers and our songs. And then from here we go out. We go on to continue our lives. And so there's the wedding over there. And there's the victory celebration over there. And there's a parade over there. In all of these activities, in all situations, young and old, men and women, all with breath, praise the Lord with all of their might. And why do we do this? Because of His acts of power and because of His surpassing greatness. And then now look up above the firmament. There we see God's heavenly throne room. There the angels, they praise God too. And so what we have is one big solid cosmos of praise to our God. May we join in the praise. May we join in singing the Psalter's grand finale. And to God be the glory. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for Psalm 150. We think about where we can praise and why and how and who. It's us. So we pray, Father, that you will bless our hearts as we sing as well this grand finale of the Psalter. Lift up our hearts as we praise you from this place, but also in the heavens above. May we praise you because of your surpassing greatness and because of your acts of power. And may we do so with our voices and with our mouths and with our eyes and our ears and with everything that we have. And we pray, Father, that we, your people, may do so. May all creation sing. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.